Hello, and welcome to Season 5 of Calling Monster Island, where Godzilla movies go from That's a Lot of Fish to That's a Lot of Trash. And today, we're going to be talking about Godzilla Singular Point, the most anticipated Godzilla anime ever. So, let's get started. Do we have any news? No, I don't guess we have any news. So yeah, let's just jump right into this. So again, this is like a major spoiler episode because, of course this aired in Japan. So, there were less than legal ways to watch it. There were less than legal ways to watch it before it came out. So most people did not see it. So, yeah. Here we are. We're going to talk about Godzilla Singular Point. Mega spoiler warning. Because this, there is no way to describe the show without talking about spoilers, because there's a lot of spoilers in this show, and, it's like one of those movies where there's not really a way to describe it without spoiling the entire thing, like Tenet, that movie's terrible. So let's get right into it. So let's start off with, episode 1. So basically, in episode 1, we're introduced to our amazing main characters, Yun Arakawa and Mei Kamino. Mei Kamino is a grad student, a college grad student. And she is, studying in, creatures that should not exist in the world. It was, something fantastica. So she studied in things that, shouldn't exist in this world. Also, real quick, highly suggest you watch the dub before you watch the sub, or just don't even watch the sub at all, just watch the dub, because the dub is, really good. One, it's really good. Two, you miss a lot of things just with the sub. And three, the dub really explains, a lot of things a lot better. So, yeah. Mei Kamino, her, college professor, the professor she's working for, goes away on a trip to Hawaii, and basically, tells her to work at this, sends her to this, this district, and this place is having a whole big, signal deal that, is coming from the basement, and they can't find out what it is. It's just a signal that is going off that is triggering this alarm. So, basically at the same time, our second main character, Yun Arakawa, is also investigating this house that has the same signal coming from it. And the signal turns out to be a song, which I need to look up the name of, because if I don't, then I'm going to butcher the name of it. Let me just search it up real quick. I think it's Alpalu Upala, I think? don't know. I really don't know. Let me see. So, sorry for the inconvenience. Yes, it is, Alapu Upala. So, Alapu Upala. Interesting thing to note, Alapu spelled backwards is Upala, and Upala spelled backwards is Alapu. So, yeah, some fearful symmetry there, if I do say so myself. That's another thing from the show. But anyways, so basically, they're both brought together over the phone, and they're both, like, investigating this signal. Basically, this whole signal thing is what starts the story. And they, like, nobody has any idea what is going on with the signal. So, she being Mei, leaves. And basically, Mei gets this AI from the Otaki factory. She gets this AI from Yoon. He's like selling free AIs on the Otaki factory website. So she gets one, and Pelops 2 is born. Yeah, so Pelops 2, so that's basically Mei's storyline for the first episode. And then Yoon's storyline for the first episode is basically, like, he just, like, keeps on, like, talking to his boss and his friend about this and blah, 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 blah. And then we get our first little sight of what is going to happen in episode 2, where they're at a festival using a prototype Jet Jaguar. So, I might as well add the sign that is on this little, like, stand where you can, see Jet Jaguar is literally called, it literally says Play with Jet Jaguar. And it's literally like, could you ask for anything more? It's you're playing with Jet Jaguar. Jet Jaguar! The greatest robot in the universe. And, like, kids are just complaining about how dorky it looks. And it's almost like the people of today complaining about the sense of style from the 70s. It's like, listen, people, this is what people liked in the 70s. Then, like, episode 2 is basically just them finding, like, the first Rodan. And nothing really happens with Mei. It's just kind of characterizing Pelops 2. Episode 3 is a lot, like, more Mei-focused. She gets sent to meet a professor named Li Ying. Along the way, they meet my favorite character, Takahiro Kai. Man, he is so cool. He has really nice hair. After that, episode 4 happens, and episode 4 is just basically characterizing Mei and further characterizing Li Ying and her bodyguard and just all this stuff. And then I believe episode 4 we see, like, the first glimpse of Amanda. So not a whole ton. Episode 3, there's, like, a short little Rodan fight with the not Nigel, the Harvey thing. Yeah. With our awesome Nigel reference, Harvey fights like three Rodans, and you know, episode 5, probably like one, he's one of my favorite characters in this entire show. BB, Beer Rich, he's Indian, so, I am probably gonna butcher his name, but it's, Barrich B.B. Braun, and, it's just, like, so cool, because he references, like, Dante's Inferno, he references the Book of Revelations, he just, references a lot of things, and, his entire storyline is that there is a monster in the depths of the earth named Salunga, who literally I'll talk about Salunga in a little bit, but so there's a monster named Salunga, and this thing is like bad news. So BB's entire storyline is kind of him and Shiva Corporation Number One, or kind of the only corporation in the entire show, defeating this monster. So then, I think it's like episode 5. Yeah. So episode 5. I think this is the first time we get to properly see, like, one of Godzilla's forms. I'm not sure. Here, let me see. So episode 5 is just a lot of Salunga, and a lot of BB. But then, back in Japan, Yoon sees Anguirus doing a weird thing. So then, episode 6, Mei is, like, discovering and uncovering a bunch of Professor Ashihara's research. Professor Ashihara, we'll talk about him in a little bit. And then, the Otaki crew, they just kill Anguirus. Episode 7, a group of Manda make landfall in Japan. And a bunch of stuff happens with Mei and Professor Lee. Their flight to London gets diverted to Milan, and all kinds of crazy stuff happens. Episode 8 is just a bunch of stuff with Godzilla happening. Just a whole bunch of stuff with Godzilla happening. And then it's like May. In episode 8, Mei is just, like, trying to figure out all this kind of stuff about, like, Ashihara and research, and his research and what he was doing. And then the Otaki crew, meets up with some, familiar spidery friends. Episode 9, Godzilla continues on Tokyo. He keeps covering and covering and covering the city in red dust, and basically the Otaki battle with our spider friends continues. They save a person, stuff happens. Yun and Habaru go back to Ashihara's mansion and try to decipher the research using Jaguar, and Bibi has a daughter named Lena, and Lena takes Mei to see Bibi, because not only does Mei need to see Bibi and they need to meet up and blah blah blah, but Lena, you know, Lena, it's her dad, so she wants to make sure her dad is okay. And then the so then before in episode 11, before Bibi and Mei and Lena and Puffs too go to the supercalculator, Bibi is like, hey, do you want to look at a singular point? And then the Otaki crew go to Tokyo to destroy Godzilla. I tried to say that like Goro, but I didn't do it very well. Mei learns about a large explosion that was triggered by Ashihara's calculator a long time ago. And Yuki Kaneko gives Colonel Matsubara the orthogonal diagonalizer to use against Godzilla. And then in episode 13, Mei, Bibi, and Pelops 2 try to prevent the catastrophe. And that dumb old Salunga is following Bibi and trying to get what he wants. But then, finally, the Otaki crew makes their final push towards Godzilla. So yeah, this entire anime is crazy and it's filled with a ton of stuff. So yeah, just an absolute heck ton of stuff. So I guess I do want to have so I covered the overall plot, but I do want to cover the itty bitty bitty little science plot here. Well, not small science plot. It's to say this show is science heavy is the understatement of the year. So basically, I just want to explain saw this science, how I deciphered this science. So basically, the idea is there is this strange molecule called archetype. And archetype can literally create an entire, well, it can't create, but it can, like, rip apart and, like, invert. That's what I was looking for. It can invert time space. So it should not exist, but it does. So basically, it can, like, invert time space by, like, kind of ripping it apart. So basically, archetypes in their primary state is like the red dust. So it's this red dust that is constantly coming off of the kaiju. So the thing about this whole idea of the archetypes is that there are these places where mass groups of archetypes are created, and they're called singular points. And basically, the way I understand singular points is they're places in the Earth triggered by huge computers, they are places in the Earth triggered by huge computers that create the archetypes, and they basically bring them into our world. And so, monsters like Solunga and Godzilla can control these archetypes in their raw form. And, you know, the archetypes invert space-time. So, like, monsters like Godzilla and Solunga can literally, you know, invert our space-time into their space-time. And, this whole thing happens where they basically rip something from another dimension into our dimension. So yes, it's confirmed. Godzilla has a monsterverse. Yeah, finally we have actual, like, people. We have, like, Godzilla and the monsters are from a different universe. So, not only can Godzilla and Solunga and Rodan and Manda produce the red dust. Well, not only can they control it, they can also produce it, which means they themselves are singular points. So not only are they themselves like conductors of it, but they are also singular points themselves. So that's at least how I understood the entire, like, science of the show. Now, I am also a science geek. I could decipher it probably a lot easier than a normal person could, but that's at least how I deciphered it. So, yeah, I guess we'll do least favorite moments, and then we'll do monster design. Okay, by far, I do want to do a character section, right before we do monsters. So, favorite, least favorite moments. So definitely my favorite moment is, the end credit scene for, like, most of the episodes. So, for most of the episodes, there's this, short little, like, video that plays for, like, 2 minutes as the credits roll that just shows tons upon tons upon tons upon tons of homages to, lots of classic Godzilla media. There's tons of stuff. Ichiro Miki from, Godzilla from All Monsters Attack shows up, so, yeah. I am so freaking thrilled. I never thought Ichiro Miki would get a second appearance. I also did not think he would get the second appearance in Singular Point. Mind it, it's definitely a cameo, but you know what? He appears, that I count that. So basically, after that, we basically just get this huge, like, you know, ending, like, I don't really know how to describe it. It's, like, just a huge, like, basically it's an ending poster, because this could totally be made into a poster, and it just shows, like, Godzilla, Anguirus, Manda, and Kumonga. I was trying to think, was it Kumonga or was it one of the other many bugs in this show? But it's definitely Kumonga. So, and it has the characters in the bottom right side of the poster, and it's really awesome. But my least favorite moment has probably got to be the, honestly, my least favorite moment has probably got to be the moment where Dr. Li Ying dies, because she goes to save a cat, and then you look back at May's face, and she's like really shocked, and then the episode ends. And then the next episode starts with Li and May in a restaurant eating together. And it makes absolutely no sense, because it's like, well, that doesn't make any sense, you know. She was just like, you know, didn't she die? Yeah, this is a flashback. But there's like no visual indication that it's a flashback, so you can't really tell that it's a flashback. So, yeah. So that's my least favorite moment. So now, let's move on to characters. So, I'm just gonna say, like, what their character name is, and then I'm gonna just give a quick, like, one-sentence description of, like, what their whole deal is. So, let's start out with Mei Kamino. So, she's the, grad student, she's the girl main character of this show. Yu Narikawa, he's the second main character, he's the programmer at the Otaki Factory, and like smartest person in the room. Both of these people are probably the smartest person in the room wherever they are. Then we have Pelop Sue, the most adorable AI I have ever seen. And Pelop Sue is basically just May's virtual assistant. And then we got Yung, which I think in the dub they pronounce Yungu, but I'm just going to say Yung. So we got Yung, who is just Yun's virtual assistant, who also becomes the AI for Jet Jaguar. We got Haburu Kato, who is, like, Yun Arikawa's best friend, but is also, like, an engineer. They really make it known that he is, like, the jock, but he's still smart, you know? He's, like, he's a jock, but he's not dumb. So then we got Goro Otaki. He is the owner and founder of the Otaki Factory. And then we got Satomi Kanahara, the goth girl, the Otaki Factory receptionist. We got Shunya Sato. So he's the Misa Kyoku employee, who works for our next character, Tsunetomo Yamamoto. I cannot pronounce words today. And he's the director / general of the Administration Bureau Misa Kyoku. Then we got Yuki Kaneko, who works for the bureaucrat. Yuki Kaneko. Yuki Kanoko. Yuki Kanoko. Why can I not pronounce words? Yuki Kaneko, who is the bureaucrat for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Then we got our boy Takahiro Kai, who is a freelance journalist. He is amazing. I love this character. He has sweet hair. He has a sweet look. He's a little suspicious. He does a little less than legal things. He transports the Godzilla bones. We don't exactly know what he's doing with them. He just transports them. And then we got Dr. Li Ying. She is the scientist. She's the professor who discovered archetypes. Then we got Mikita K. Nakagawa. he's just Lee's bodyguard. Then we got my second favorite character, Barrich B.B. Byrne. Not Brian, Byrne. And he is, a researcher in Shiva, and then his daughter, Lena Byrne, she's his daughter. And we got Michael Steven, who is a Shiva employee, but he's also a politician. And then we got the person he works for, Tilda Miller, the lady with the creepy eyes, aka the representative of Shiva. And then our last major, well, we have one major character after this, but our main, our last main major character, Yoshiyasu Matsubaru, he's just our JSDF colonel guy who just does military stuff. And then our final, final guy, the one who is behind it all, Michiyuki Ashihara, a mysterious scientist who studies archetypes. Okay, so, basically, after that, for Monster Wise, we have, I'm just gonna list them all off here. Godzilla, Jet Jaguar, Solunga, Rodan, Anguirus, Manda, Kumanga, Kamanga, Hinega, Zenbunga. Then we got some giant silkworm moths. We got a red plant. And Godzilla parasites. And then I'll talk about all the little cameos throughout the show. So yeah, that's mainly our, you know, our characters. I guess I'll start off with Jet Jaguar, and I'll end with Godzilla. So, Jet Jaguar, he's everybody's favorite, 70s robot. He's everybody's favorite primary colored friend, you know? He looks basically the same in his, first form, in his prototype Jet Jaguar form, but basically he just has a lot of bolts on his chest. He has a chainmail, like, chest down the center of him, that is like a cockpit. He has real stubby, all white legs, and then, you know, like, basic Showa head design, just with a lot of bolts and stuff, and then, big ol', like, cylinder arms with these, like, really, like, claw machine-esque hands. And then after that, there is, Jet Jaguar with the Harvey attachment. So it's basically just the upper half of the prototype Jet Jaguar with the bottom half, with the, Harvey on the bottom. And then our final design, Jet Jaguar B, who basically is like, he's basically just classic Jet Jaguar with a lot more bolts in him. He doesn't have any like chain across his chest, because he's controlled by AI. So a lot more like modern looking adaptation of the classic design. He really looks like something you could, like what Jet Jaguar would look like if you built him right now. So then after Jet Jaguar, I guess let's talk about Rodan. So Rodan just looks like a 90s adaptation, or 90s interpretation of a pterodon. Basically. That's just basically what it looks like. But he looks really fleshy. And then in his second form, he looks just like a 90s pterodon, but with, like, Rodan coloration. And instead of just having, like, one horn in the back of his head, he has two horns. And then in his final form, he basically just looks like, he basically just looks like the second form, but a lot bigger and with, just with, like, you know, with, like, a big cloud mass around him, but, like, a dark cloud mass. So very, very, weird. He was about to fire off some kind of beam, but he never got to, so, yeah. And then I guess after that is, like, I guess after that really is, Manda? Yeah. So Manda basically, okay, Manda looks kind of like a snake, you know, looks kind of like our big old snaky boy, but he does have, like, some of those, little, like, sea roach, like, hair feelers on him. Ugh, it's disgusting. This is basically the most disgusting design of Manda we've ever gotten. Very, like, shark-like face with a lot of, like, just regular, you know, Manda horns. And then he has the little Manda arms that usually go scrunched up. And you usually don't notice them because the rest of the design is so, like, thick. And his arms are just, like, so skinny that you really don't really even see them most of the time. But yeah, there's a nice little reference where, Manda bites Godzilla Ultima, and then Godzilla Ultima blows his head off. That is a reference to an unused scene from, Destroy All Monsters. It's a nice, little reference to Destroy All Monsters, because there's actually, an unused scene where Godzilla, where Manda, is, like, slithering up a building and then, like, bites at Godzilla's neck. And then Godzilla tears him off of the building and throws him to the ground. And it's so funny because it's like they were both under the control of the Kilok, so why are they fighting? But yeah. So then, after Manda is Anguirus. So Anguirus is, like, Anguirus is, like, a lot like Final Wars, so it's, like, he has that nice, like, combed, spiky hairdo, because, you know, Anguirus in Final Wars had, like, that nice, like, combed, like, those nice combed spikes that were, like, in front, they were, like, facing, like, the front. Well, now all of his spikes are like that, and they're all, like, combed like that, and they all look really nice. So anyways, basically after that, there's, like, a lot of the same features of, it's like they took a lot of different Anguiruses and then just mashed them all together. A really cool thing is that he has the, like, proto Showa design. So it's, like, right near the end of his, her carapace, because they in the Japanese version, they officially call Anguirus a her. So, right at the end of her, carapace, it splits open, and it has that nice, like, little, like, beetle shell, kind of. So it's cool. I actually, like, in a lot of the concepts, in a lot of the concept designs from, like, the Showa, and when they were gonna do the Anguirus Hound in the Heisei, I was like, yeah, I don't know how much I like the idea of the shell being split open like that. I kind of liked it in, like, their Raids Again posters, you know? And I kind of liked it when it did it accidentally in Wreath again. I thought that was so funny when it just split open by accident. Basically, after that, that's Anguirus, I guess. She has, like, a lot of nice, like, golden brown coloration to her, which I thought was really nice. And, you know, she has, like, a menacing cute, like, a menacing cuteness to her, kind of. Like, she's very, like, this Anguirus is by far the most menacing out of all of them, but, this Anguirus also looks like one that you would want to, like, snuggle with, because it looks adorable. After that, I guess, is Solunga. So, Solunga is basically, Gabbro, if you gave him really big hands that had two fingers, like two huge fingers and two, and well, one thumb on each of them. So, like, huge, huge, huge hands. And then, kind of short legs. And, like, a big, like, big old long tail. And the ability to, like, go bipedal and just kind of, like, run. Like, knuckle run. And if you, like, scratched out Gabbro's eyes and just left the, white that just stares right into your soul, and then you took Gabbro and you just, ripped off Baragon's plating, so you just literally tore it off his back, duct taped it right onto Gabbro and then spray painted it green. And then you bent Gabbro's horn a little bit so that it was like facing kind of backwards a little bit. And then you just jammed another horn just like that one in his head. And then you gave him, like, really big shoulders and really, really big back that kind of, like, shortens down a little bit as it goes down into his waist. That's how you have Solunga. So it's definitely very Gabbro-esque. He has electricity powers, which I was, like, it... Okay, when it happened in the last episode, it left me cheering. Like, I was immediately cheering for this to happen. This Solunga is a lot stronger than Gabbro. He's a lot stronger than Gabbro, because as Gabbro can be taken out by Godzilla's son, Minya, as Gabbro can be taken out very easily by Minya, this Gabbro takes 3 different times to get stabbed by a bunch of friggin' crystals made out of the red dust to die. So it takes him a very long time to die. Then after Solunga, let's go straight to Godzilla. So, Godzilla basically is just Godzilla, you know? He evolves. First form is Godzilla Aquatilus. He looks a lot like Titanosaurus. Like, all of these designs, except for Ultima, are just fusion designs. So, like, Godzilla Aquatilus. It's like if Godzilla Ultima and Titanosaurus did a fusion dance. And then Godzilla Amphibia gets if Ultima and Varan did a fusion dance. And then Terrestris, it's if, like, Godzilla, Ultima, Zilla, and Gorosaurus all did a fusion dance. And then Godzilla Ultima is like just very like armor plated looking Godzilla with a big old mouth, just a huge mouth. That actually works very well for this design, surprisingly. A cool thing to note about Godzilla Terrestris, the third form, he does like a Mina smoke ring, and I was like, well, if Mina can't be in the singular point, then this is the close second, you know. after that, really, there's just, Ultima, I could talk a lot about this Godzilla design, but, I do want to move on to Mechagodzilla. So, Mechagodzilla, amazing. He's amazing, okay? Mechagodzilla is flat out amazing. They were like, okay, Mechagodzilla did good in the Monsterverse, but now we're bringing him into singular point. So, Mechagodzilla looks a lot like Showa Mechagodzilla, but they're using the bones of the original Godzilla. So Takeru Kai, Michael Steven, and a spoiler character show up, and they start looking at it, and it looks, you know, like we have no idea what any of them have, you know, involvement wise with it, but it looks a lot like Showa Mechagodzilla if it was built around like bone, with a lot of like the bone showing on it. Very cool design. But also like I'm not really sure if it's supposed to be Mechagodzilla, because a lot of places it has been called Robo-Godzilla, but so that's just in an end credit scene, like a secret end credit scene. I forgot to talk about Kamanga, Hanega, and Zambunga. I just have to talk about Kumanga and Kamanga, because Hanega and Zambunga are just like the flyy forms of both of them. So basically, take like a tarantula, a green tarantula, Kumanga, and a scorpion, and mash them all together and sprinkle a little bit of Megalon in there. And then you have this new Kumanga design. And then for Kamanga, you just take all the same things, but instead of sprinkling a little bit of Megalon in there, you sprinkle a little bit of Gigan in there. And then the other forms, Hanega and Zambunga, are just those different forms with wings. So, I guess impact now. People like this anime. It's doing good. So, yeah. Now, final thoughts. I loved it. It was a great change from, you know, regular sci-fi. And I definitely think it was a very, very good, well-put-together anime. So, without further ado, this is Godzilla Singular Point. Watch Godzilla Singular Point on Netflix. But if you don't want to own Netflix, then I'm happy to just talk about it, because I love this anime. But, as always, you can leave a review on the iTunes, and I will read it out on the podcast, like I do. You can listen to me on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, literally anywhere you get your podcast. You can listen to me anywhere. So, yeah, without further ado, well, actually, let me give out the calendar for the next episodes. So I guess, after this, really, we're just gonna be focusing on, like, getting back into the groove of the podcast. I want to do some old, 50s monster movies, so, like, I do want to do, The 50-Foot Woman, Them, The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, so just stuff like that, a little bit more Toho stuff, but I do want to start kind of focusing on, less Godzilla-related things, but yeah, without further ado, I bid you a very good day, and, see you next episode.